welcome to another edition of the Lore of the Films podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Fernand, and in today's episode, I will be doing a brief audio review of Drive. I'll be discussing Drive's Oscar chances, and I will also be reviewing this weekend's Emmy ceremony. So let's get to it and get to my review of Drive, which I thought was a solid thriller brought to the next level by its amazing director, Nicholas Winding Refn. He does some very cool style. Actually, let me just say that the story is, if you look at the script for the film, it's just a story that is filled with many cliches, and it's a bare-bones script. But Nicholas Winding Refn puts so much style into it that it really does bring the film to another level. He makes all these cool stylistic choices. By the way, this movie just oozes cool throughout it. An example of one of these stylistic choices is a knife fight near the end of the film. That's the way it's shot is it looks at the combatant's shadows. The camera never looks at the combatants. It just looks at their shadows, and you can tell who's winning the fight by the shadows. And it's such a cool way to film the scene. And many scenes have unique choices like that. My only problem with this film is I honestly don't know if this is a film I will be remembering a year from now. It's a very cool story. It's very Man with No Name-ish. It's a cool movie, but I don't even know how to describe this. It's just there just wasn't enough there for me to definitely say I'll be remembering this from a year from now. But I definitely will be checking it out again. Onto the performances, Ryan Gosling, he's really a star, and he does so much with just his mannerisms in this film. It's a very subtle performance. He doesn't talk a lot, but he says so much with just the way he moves his face and his mouth. It's a very, very subtle, but very, very good performance. And then the other highlights of the cast are Albert Brooks as one of the villains. Definitely playing against type, he was pretty good. And Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad was also in this film, and he was great as usual, playing kind of the sleazy mentor to Ryan Gosling's character. And so that about wraps it up, so I'm going to get into my review of this past weekend's Emmy Awards. I'm going to go on through the categories, or a few of them, and tell you my thoughts. So let's just start with comedy, where Modern Family won every award that it was nominated for. Let me explain that a little more. It won every award that it had nominations for. As with like Best Supporting Actor, it had four nominations in that category. So you can only win with one of them, and they did win that category, but there were three losers from the cast. Anyways, it was an avalanche of support, and it's kind of getting old fast, especially since it won big last year. And let's be honest, Modern Family had a sophomore slump this past season. They just relied too much on the formula they created in the first season, and the jokes and the format are just getting tiresome. They really have to switch it around, but the Emmys still obviously love it. One of the big WTF moments of the night was when Jim Parsons beat Steve Carell in Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Steve Carell never won for the role of Michael Scott ever, that's one of the greatest comedic performances ever. And it's a sham that he's never won. It's very ridiculous, and it looks bad on the Emmy voters. And really, that entire category was handled so wrongly. They brought out Charlie Sheen to present the category, and if Steve Carell won that, this was supposed to be Steve Carell's big moment, and you're kind of, by bringing Charlie Sheen to present it, you're kind of making it Charlie Sheen's moment, and he's not a good person, so he doesn't really deserve a moment like Steve Carell does. And then afterwards, Jim Parsons went on and thanked Johnny Galecki, of course no mention of Steve Carell, who truly did deserve this award. So it was just handled very poorly. Just want to get in quickly. I thought Jane Lynch was an okay host. They didn't use her enough. And the telecast thought it would be a great idea to bring in all these musical elements because Jane Lynch is from Glee. And all those musical elements, like the Emmytons, just failed completely. Anyways, another WTF moment of the ceremony was Melissa McCarthy's win. I've heard so many theories about this from, oh, it was Bridesmaids, to, oh, the voters are too old, they don't watch movies, so they haven't seen Bridesmaids yet, to, oh, it was a funny tape, and then others are saying, no, it wasn't that funny of a tape, and it's not the stuff that Emmy voters will go for, while others said Emmy voters do go for the stuff in her tape. And then others are saying, oh, it's just because she's been in television series before, like Gilmore Girls, and she's just kind of a respected actress. But it's just so much stuff. It's like, I don't think anybody knows where this one came from, and it was very shocking. So anyways, on to the miniseries TV movie categories, where Downton Abbey dominated. I personally don't like Downton Abbey that much. I didn't think it was that good. The servant storyline in that miniseries, I really did like. It was interesting. But the Noble storyline, which takes up half of the miniseries, is it was not good at all. I mean, the whole point of it was about this family that's going to lose their property because they don't have an heir, or a male heir. And nothing about this family made me want to root for them to find a way to get to keep their property, because they were either very boring or they were just bad people. I don't know how you could root for him. It was, I just did not like it. I don't know why all the critics are in love with this miniseries. And it's not even a miniseries, because its second season just aired in England this past weekend. So I have no idea. It has no business being in these categories in the first place. And Downton Abbey's, it won the miniseries / TV movie category. It won Best Supporting Actress in a TV movie miniseries, and Writing for a TV movie miniseries, and Directing for a TV movie miniseries. So it did very well. And its win was Mildred Pierce's and HBO's loss. They were favored to win, and they ended up only coming away with Best Lead Actress Kate Winslet, which that was, of course, a lock. And then Best Supporting Actor Guy Pearce, which it's kind of cool that Guy Pearce is now a major awards winner, because he is such a great actor, and I'm very happy to see him win one. And the big WTF in the miniseries / TV movie categories was Barry Pepper winning for Best Lead Actor, which I think many people had him as the least likely to win in that category, because Greg Kinnear was also in that category. He was from the same miniseries, The Kennedys, and had way more scene time in the miniseries, and they just thought it wouldn't happen. But he, I thought he deserved this. He was very good in that miniseries, so congrats to him. Another great character actor that deserves some love from these awards. Unfortunately, wasn't there to accept it. So now on to the drama categories, which was by far the most exciting part of the night, as it got very, very unpredictable, a lot of crazy upsets, and you could just feel the room going in Friday Night Lights' favor, which is a show that definitely deserves some love, finally got it, and it's a show I very much like and was rooting for. Anyways, Friday Night Lights did end up winning in upsets. Kyle Chandler won for Best Lead Actor over the favorite Jon Hamm, and the Jason Kadams won for writing the series finale Always over Matthew Weiner's The Suitcase, which was supposed to be an unbeatable episode, one of the greatest episodes of all time, apparently. And personally, I was happy it won, not just because it deserved to, but Matthew Weiner, I don't like him. He's kind of a jerk. Anyways, let's see. Mad Men did end up winning the drama series award again, fourth time. I thought Friday Night Lights might pull it off in the end, so at least that was exciting, whereas the comedy series, you just knew Modern Family was going to win from the beginning. But these Mad Men wins are getting ridiculous. Four in a row. I see what people like in the series, but it doesn't deserve four Emmys for Best Drama Series. It's getting really, really ridiculous, and I really hope it doesn't win a fifth next year. Best moment of the ceremony, I think, was Margot Martindale won, deservingly, and then her speech, some things take time, but with time comes great appreciation, great line, best speech of the night, and you could just tell how much this award meant to her, and you couldn't feel nothing else but happiness for her, and she truly deserved it. She was phenomenal on Justified, the performance of the year, so congrats to Margot Martindale, that was the best part of the night. And then another awesome part was Peter Dinklage got a major win for Game of Thrones. He won Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. And while I don't think his performance was actually that great, it was just more perfect casting and well-written, I was just happy to see Game of Thrones getting major winning because it did deserve some major love. And that about wraps it up for the Emmy Awards. So, now on to Drive's Oscar chances. It's either going to get zero nominations or one nomination. It's not going to be a very major Oscar player. It's going to have no chance at all for Best Picture. It's just not the type of film that they would go for. It does have a very outside chance for getting a director nomination for Nicholas Winding Refn. To get this, first of all, he has to get all the critic support. It has to get, like, a Social Network, like, sweep of the Critics Awards with Best Director, which is, at this point, very possible. It's a very admired film. And if it does that, it has a chance of getting a Best Director nomination. But even then, it's still not a guarantee. Then we've got Ryan Gosling also has an outside chance. It doesn't seem like the kind of performance the Oscar will go for because it's very subtle and the Oscars really like the over-the-top stuff more often. But it's been a big year for Ryan Gosling and they might want to reward him for his work on the year as a whole. And right now the film that looks like it could get that nomination for Ryan Gosling is The Ides of March, which only got okay reviews in Venice. But if it gets even worse reception, which is unlikely, but it's possible. If it gets worse reception in the States than it did in Venice, then Drive might become the film that they try to get the nomination for Ryan Gosling with. Still very unlikely, I think. I think its best chance at a nomination is Albert Brooks for Best Supporting Actor. It's so far a weak year in the Best Supporting Actor category. There's like Christopher Plummer. And that's about it. Nick Nolte was considered a possibility, but bad box office for Warrior probably hurts his chances big time. So at this point in the season, it's a very weak category. So Albert Brooks getting in is very possible. He's a veteran actor who is respected and is playing against type. And more importantly, this category loves villains. Before Christian Bale won, it was three villains won this category in a row. Or three actors who are portraying villains. Then the only other category I think this film has a chance in is sound mixing. The mix on this film is outstanding. Probably the best of the year. Unfortunately, this category more often, or like 98% of the time, goes for either Best Picture nominees or blockbusters. So it has a very outside chance of that. And then everything else it has no chance of getting in. So that about wraps it up for this episode of the Lore of the Films podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ryan Fernand, and I'm out.